This is Transmisión, a bilingual digital marketing podcast presented by Alphaco Marketing and Media. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Transmisión, a digital marketing podcast with me, your host, Graham Dunlap, and my esteemed colleague, as always, Juan Pablo Osorio. Juan Pablo, how are you?
Buenas, mi gente. Hello, my people. Doing very good. Happy to be tuning in with you guys today to talk about another marketing topic here in our podcast.
That's right. This is we're talking about the marketing funnel today. We're recording here on a leap year, so I guess that means we can only talk about the marketing funnel once every 4 years. But that's us here today, and we're going to do it, and we're excited about it. Before we jump in, though, what's going on with you, Juan Pablo? How's life treating you? What do you have coming up on the pipeline? What have you been up to?
Yes, sir. So it's been focusing on starting the first quarter of the year strong. And I have some conferences coming up. CEO Circle with Bunker Labs. Another one with Syracuse University with veteran entrepreneurs. I go and I'm able to connect with other veterans who have businesses. And I get to network and make connections and help people when I can. And then we just got invited to the Houston Hispanic Chamber of Commerce to put a booth there and everything. So I'm planning these things out.
It's really cool, man. You know, I've known you now for going on 5 years, and it's been a lot of fun to watch you grow as a mentor in your community. It's something I've noticed and something that I'm really proud to work with you, because I see you putting so much time and effort into your community and into your loved ones. So that's really awesome to see. I'm kind of in the same boat. Work is keeping me pretty busy right now. I think both of us. It's been an exciting time here at Alphaco, an exciting time for the Transmisión podcast as well. And personally, I'm having a little bit of like work FOMO. Things are just going so well right now at Alphaco, and I'm really loving the group we have and the way we're all working together towards a common goal. And I'm about to leave to go on vacation, and I feel really weird about it, because you're like leaving when the iron's hot, and I like to strike when the iron's hot. But it'll be a fun time, and we'll get back and back to recording the pod and helping our clients as well. So as mentioned at the top, we are talking today about the marketing funnel. You know, Juan Pablo, I really plan on kind of talking in depth about the marketing funnel, but I guess my question to you is, for us, how often are we using the marketing funnel? You know, why is this important to us? Do you think about it every day? Do you think about it sometimes? Like, what is your big picture relationship with the marketing funnel before we ever even introduce it?
Yeah, so being in marketing now for 10 years, I know every business needs a marketing funnel, because even if you have one client or if you have five clients in your community, you're just getting started, there's a funnel right there. And as companies grow, you start usually having a main funnel or lead generation, and there's multiple names and science behind all of these parts. But the main thing that you need a way to get customers to reach your business, and as you grow, you might even expands, and you might have multiple channels.
Yeah, I love it, especially early on in a process as you're really thinking about customer acquisition, for a couple of reasons. One, I think it illustrates really nicely that you don't just step outside and acquire customers. There are multiple steps along that path before conversion. And so I think that it does a really good job of communicating, you know, you don't eat the entire pizza all at once. You eat the pizza one slice at a time. And I really like the marketing funnel for that. And it does really clearly lay out what those steps are. I also really like it because it's a well-worn road to client acquisition. It is something that we've been doing before digital, you know, before we ever even knew what capital in marketing was. People understood this idea of, you know, you don't wake up one day and decide that you want to buy an iPhone. You got to learn what the iPhone is. You got to figure out how it can help you. And then you start to get motivated to buy the iPhone. And there's multiple steps along that journey. You know, I wanted to jump in, and I kind of want to get right into things here and talk about what the different steps are along the marketing funnel path. Also wanted to try and communicate some of this via a metaphor that I'm going to try really hard to carry through this entire explanation. So bear with me as I strain this metaphor. But the metaphor I want to use is the metaphor of you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And it's this idea that we can kind of show you the way, but you still have to create the intrinsic motivation inside of somebody for them to actually take the action that you want. You know, another terrible example of this would be the movie Inception. It's like, I can't tell you to give me the code to a safe, but if I give you the idea that it's smart or a good idea to tell me the code to the safe, then you might, right? So how do I think about this? Well, there are six stages along the marketing funnel. The first one is awareness. The second is desire. The third is action. The fourth, loyalty. The fifth, advocacy. The way I like to think about this with awareness, you know, going back to my metaphor, this is just you telling the horse that water exists, right? We're just simply letting a horse know, hey, there is water. What does that really look like? Well, really, it's about raising awareness for you. So if you are, let's say you're one of our clients and you've just opened a new location in the town next door. Well, that town is not going to know who you are or what you do, and they may not even know about all the services that you provide in the same way. And so the first step is to tell them you exist, tell them what it is, just let them know that you're there. Anything you want to add on the awareness stage, I think it's pretty straightforward, right? It's kind of like putting the first sign in your yard, letting people know, hey, this house is for sale or this business is open. That's kind of step one, right?
Yes, yes. I think about the megaphone example of you step out of your business, you need to let your community know you're open for business and you open up the megaphone. You know, I was in Mexico City last year and there was this truck that would go around buying your old fridge or old washers. And there was a pickup truck that would just go around the neighborhoods with a megaphone saying, lavadoras, colchones, washers, mattresses. And it's still, I can hear it so clearly in my head that if I was ever in Mexico and I needed to sell a washer or dryer, that's the one first person I will be looking for, because they made me aware of their service. Of course, we have different practices here in the US, but I think it's a great example of this awareness of letting people know you're open for business and offering services.
Right. And in our world, I would think of things like a regular web page ad. We don't do a lot of auction based ad buying here, but if you were, say, going to ESPN.com and you saw an ad for F1 and you didn't know what F1 was, that would be kind of raising awareness to you about what F1 is. Or I think about new TV shows all the time. You don't know what a new TV show is or is going to be. And so the first thing they do is they'll run ads either on your social media channels or just on, you know, between during a commercial break. That is raising awareness. We're telling people what it is. They may do some other stuff in there, try and get you excited as well. But step one of that is raising awareness, letting you know, hey, this is coming. It's coming on this date. Think of a billboard for a movie. It's literally a picture of, you know, a picture of Spider-Man and a date. We're raising awareness. So the next step is interest. Kind of continuing my terrible horse metaphor here. Interest, the horse knows water exists. The horse knows that it will help his thirst. But the horse isn't really thirsty yet, right? The horse is fine. It knows that eventually it might be thirsty, but it's not thirsty now. We're in no rush. What does that look like for us in digital marketing? You know, I think that interest and awareness oftentimes do go hand in hand in our industry. But what I really think about is search and intent. And what we're doing when we're, you know, in the interest phase is we are trying to find and target people who are already interested. We've raised awareness. Maybe we captured a lot of people who we knew were aware, and we actually created a click funnel. And so we tracked everybody from awareness into interest, and now we're targeting them with an interest-based message. From interest, we then want to move to desire. What does that look like? Well, it's really, I know who you are. I'd like to learn a little bit more about what you're doing. A great example of this would be like a Spanish-speaking doctor near me. They're interested, but they don't know where they're going. They don't even necessarily what treatment they're searching for, but they know that they're interested. That next step along the road, the next piece of that funnel, this is step three, is desire. This is where the horse is thirsty. He knows about the water. He knows it will quench his thirst, but he maybe doesn't know where he's going to go get water. He doesn't know there's a supermarket down the road that he can go get water, or that there's a pond that he can go find water. So what do we do here when we're in the desire phase? This is where people really want to make a move. We don't need to tell them why they should make a move anymore. We tell them why they should make a move with us. Think about like Coke versus Pepsi here. It's not, I want a soda. It's, which soda do I want and why? Why do I want Coke? Why do I want Pepsi? What's the difference? Well, that's branding, that's marketing, but we're creating a desire for a choice, right? The next step along the road is action. This is really, for a lot of people, if you're I think, kind of the traditional, or what a lot of people think of as the funnel. This is where this funnel ends. We've converted them. Now we created awareness. We created even interest. We cultivated a strong desire. Now people are actually taking action. Back to my metaphor, the horse is thirsty, and the water that will quench its thirst, it's right over there. The horse is going to walk over to that water. It's going to drink the water. We've converted the horse. The horse is a water fan. Now the horse wants to drink the water, right? What does that look like for us? A lot of that is about creating intelligent web pages or creating intelligent conversion tools, right? We've gotten people to your website. We've gotten people to your marketing assets. Now we actually need them to say, okay, I don't just want the water. I want the water from you. Great examples of this are, you know, we tell everybody we work with, never go more than 3 seconds of attention on a website without a call to action. That call to action is the conversion. That's where we are getting people to actually become patients or clients, right? Some examples of this, appointment reminders are actually a really good example of this. Oftentimes we'll see people, they've scheduled their appointment, but they haven't actually come in yet. They haven't actually converted yet. Scheduling the appointment is communicating desire. Getting them to take action, that's sending the appointment reminder saying, you got to come in at this time, and then actually getting them there into the appointment. Juan Pablo, these next two are what I think are really what's powerful about digital marketing in particular. Before I jumped there, anything you wanted to mention just about the funnel all the way from awareness through to action?
You know, I have done some learning about the funnel and doing case studies. I love studying Nike and how they've created this brand, because when they came in the market, it was Puma and Adidas who had like 90-something% the share of the market. And Nike had to, you know, start by going to these college track meets, the team doing sales and creating awareness. And then at some Olympics in Mexico in 86, I believe it's the year, in the 80s, it's in Mexico, they released the shoe, and it was like the Nike Cortez to defeat the Aztecs of Puma and Adidas. In their marketing, you can see at some point where you wanted shoes, like, okay, I want this, the desire point where you like, you go from good to know that there's some new basketball running shoes, but at some point they catch you and you're like, man, those are really cool, for whatever reason those connect with you. And then at some point that hopefully turns into either going online or going to the mall, or so for some of our audience members, the moment people are searching your online review profile, they need to go to the dentist, I have a toothache, and I'm shopping around or looking around reviews, and at some point I said, I like them, I am going to go and fill up a contact form so I can make up an appointment. And that process is a journey, and that's why the funnel is so important, because the more you understand this, to take him through the action level, the more leads you're going to have generated.
You know, and this is slightly different, but I talk to our team who's out there, you know, hitting the phones, making calls. And always what I say on your first day is, you're probably not going to get the deal on the first phone call. And honestly, don't try. If you're trying to get people to come in and, like, let's say, you know, my wife's a surgeon. She does hip replacements. If she walked up to me on the street, my hips are fine, I was like, I need to replace your hip, there's no way that I would do that right then and there, right? There's no way. You've got to start by saying, oh, hey, do you know what hip replacements do? Do you know how it can help you? Do you know why it might help you? You have to move people along this funnel. And the same thing is true in marketing and sales, whatever the case is. It's step by step. You have to go, you have to follow this path. And if you think you don't, or you think you see major brands not following it, look a little closer. You know, the Nike example, I think, is really interesting, because they're not necessarily having to do a lot of awareness raising anymore. People know who Nike is. If you see the Nike check, you know what that is, but they still have to create interest for new shoes. They still have to create desire to purchase, sometimes with scarcity. You know, they do a great job with the Air Jordan, with creating desire via scarcity, right? You're still creating these emotional triggers in people along the way that actually get people to go to an action. But just saying, you know, walk over there, people are actually, if I told you to walk over there, you're probably not going to do it. You're probably gonna be like, why do you want me to walk over there? And all you're telling me is walk over there. I don't want to do that. But if I say, hey, look over there, do you see that sun? And then I say, it's warmer over there. And then I say, aren't you cold right here? And then I say, walk over there and you'll be warmer because you're in the sun. Now all of a sudden you're going to walk over there. And those steps are important. I do want to transition to what it really gets me most excited about the funnel. It's the back half. This is where I think we start creating a virtuous cycle. I love the tools that digital allows us to leverage to really accelerate what we're doing here in the back half of this funnel. These next two steps, they're loyalty and advocacy. The first one is loyalty. Back to my metaphor, the horse likes this water. The horse likes this watering hole. The horse keeps coming back. That's great. This is where we've built loyal consumers. You know, I think this is pretty straightforward. Oftentimes this is achieved with great customer service or a great product. Online, this is where we really like to, you know, invest in like review management, get people to solidify how loyal they are. Oh, you've come a few times. Would you mind leaving me a review talking about just how good your experience has been? And then once they leave you the review, that's when we get to advocacy. And advocacy is so much fun because at advocacy, your clients, your patients, they start becoming your salespeople. They start doing the work of growth for you. They can carry their peers or their friends through the first four steps of the funnel for you. And how does that happen? That happens because you created loyal consumers, and those consumers turn into advocates. Kind of finalizing that metaphor there. The horse loves the water. The horse leaves and comes back with all of his horse friends. And now all of his horse friends and he are all drinking at the watering hole together. He's created advocates. He is an advocate. Now he's going to create more for you. And then finally, you know, the last thing here, I love, again, advocacy, because once you get somebody to write a review for you on any channel, they are more likely to go and talk to their friends. They are more likely to go and tell their peers. We are a bilingual marketing agency. When I talk bilingual, one of the things I tell people is that community, they do such a good job in the loyalty and the advocacy phase. When we do great work for our clients, they build raving fans, and those raving fans will become loyal to that business and they will tell their peers about it. One of the big benefits we can offer to the Hispanic audience is a native language translation. It goes so far to turning patients or consumers into those loyal advocates for you. Juan Pablo, I know you wanted to talk too, and I'm really excited to hear you talk a little bit more about just some more of the tactics, you know, how we can customize the marketing funnel, some of the different tools we were going to use.
Yes, sir. So yeah, we can get into what you can do for your business today, depending on the different levels of where you're at and your business growth. It starts with understanding that you cast in a wide net in the beginning, but you want to transition to throwing a straight line, understanding who your target audience is. But throwing the wide net at first can help you test out who your ideal customer is. Some of the tools that can help you with this are, for example, CRMs, mm-hmm. customer relationship management tools, where you can structure a pipeline on straight from, like, start with a list of, let's say, 1,000 people. And that would be like, you need to make all those 1,000 people aware that you exist. Then we go into, after reaching out to them, send them emails, calling them, a percentage of them will show some interest. Maybe I'll take an appointment. This sounds interesting. I'm going to take it up to my colleagues and see if we can set up a meeting. In that process, in the CRM, you can put notes about who's interested, who responded to phones, and then with the follow-ups, of course, build a desire and an action to take a meeting with you. And you can note that on the CRM as well, and your team, you can see the different team members, where they're at in the part of the funnel, where your list that you started with 1,000, where you're in the funnel, and a conversion rate of how many people actually took a meeting and hopefully take them to close.
Sorry, if you don't mind if I interrupt, just you said a couple of things that I think are super powerful. One, a CRM and notes. I cannot stress enough how important notes are. Notes are important whether you're being, you know, boots on the ground tactical, talking to people individually, or if you're doing a spray and pray, you still want to take demographic information. And this is what's great. You've got 1,000 people there and you say, oh, okay, only X number responded. Well, you can take notes on the demographic information or the profile of the people who responded, and that will help you get better the next time. And I love that. I love using a CRM to take notes. I also just wanted to give a little bit of a guidance on a conversion rate. You said 1,000, which is a nice round number. We tend to see 10% all the way across. At every step of the funnel, usually if you start with 1,000 people in awareness, you're gonna get about 100 people that then move to the next phase, and so on and so forth. And so 10% is a benchmark. Some are better, some are worse. But the 10% rule holds really nicely as we move through this funnel.
I think, okay, I have the CRM. I have my pipeline and my funnel set up. Where do I get those leads? And that's the first part of your funnel. And that's why the awareness is so important. Whether it's social media, even if you get people messaging you through social media, you should put them on your pipeline, on your CRM, and follow up. If they come through word of mouth, you note that on your CRM. Oh, I had 3 leads from social media, 10 from word of mouth, 25 from the local ads that I ran. So the awareness and interest part, it's you explore different channels. Depending if you already know your channels, then you note that you have to invest more. But as you bring them in, of course, having a CRM helps you take people through the pipeline. And I want to talk a little bit about when it comes to website SEO ads that we run for our clients, how do we translate to the client? Okay, we have a funnel and we know it's working. We have some metrics that we use, call them KPIs, key performance indicators or main metrics. But the most important, and I'm going to use website traffic for an example, is we have 1 million impressions. Some of our websites, we have 1 million impressions. Okay, Google showed this page 1 million times. People were typing for a key term. 1 million times we showed up on the results. But out of this 1 million, only 10% actually, and usually we have actually like 3%, 4%, 5% of click-through rate. So let's say 5% of the 1 million, so 50,000 click on the website. So that's a KPI, like we have impressions, then we have how many people click on the website, and then the next metric, which is usually like a 10% of those 50,000 is people who are actually gonna go through the funnel, go through the desire and interest and read about your website and go to your about us and say, okay, I'm gonna make an appointment or give them my information, fill up a form. And then now your sales team has from 1 million impressions and 50,000 clicks. Now we have about 5,000 people who have actually submitted a form or made a phone call. For us, that is called a conversion. And that's whatever your channel is for your awareness, you want to bring them to conversion, which is in the action stage. And you start tracking your efforts and your return of investment or your marketing dollars or your time on social media or wherever it is that you're spending your time looking for clients. How many conversions are you getting? And usually this will tell you, because a client actually coming into the office is the conversion that we're looking for. So it doesn't matter if there's 1 million or 100,000 clicks or 1,000 clicks, but that if enough people walking through the door, the final conversion or made a phone call, made an appointment. I want to reiterate that the whole funnel, it's you're carrying through each step, and you might not see the return of investment until the action stage. But if your funnel, if you set it up the right way, the conversions will be like the sweet point of the whole work of setting up a funnel.
I love that. And I think it's so important that you stress the steps along the way. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking a lot about the fact that we call it a funnel. And I actually think that it's better visually represented by a pyramid. And the reason I actually think a pyramid is better is because the conversion is the goal at the end, and you have to build your way up to that. It's not just an accident that think like a funnel kind of implies you just slide down the funnel and good things happen. Whereas the pyramid implies you have to build up to it. And I think that building up to it is really important. It is steps in a process. I even like the pyramid, because the top of that pyramid then would be, you know, loyalty and advocacy. And that's where it is more of a funnel, because your advocates are working on your behalf, and they are kind of doing that magic thing that a funnel does, where you're using a little momentum, a little gravity to help you. Whereas the first 4 steps along the funnel, getting to action, you really do have to build up to that. The other thing that we've kind of been flirting with talking about, but I do think is important to mention, is there's 2 really key ways that you can get more clients. If you think about the funnel, you can increase your conversion rate, or you can reach out to more people. We haven't said that explicitly, but if you hear kind of what we're talking about and how you shed prospects at every step of the funnel, then what you realize is, all right, I can either move 1% more through each step, or I could just reach out to 2 million people instead of 1 million people. So there's a couple of ways to do it. If you're great, you're doing both. Well, Pablo, let's close out with any more tactics you've got, man.
Yeah, so I talked about the channel in the awareness stage. I want to close out with what to do on the loyalty and advocacy. And I want to give an example of something that's called, they call it in the internet, growth hacking. There's a company that does cloud, and I think they're called Squarebox. It's a cloud company that when the cloud services started, they were like the main company that just broke through the industry. And they would offer you 5 gigs of free data if you just sent the email to 5 of your friends, right? And they were able to reach such a fast pace of growth because of that strategy. And it has to do that they had already converted these people because they needed cloud space. And okay, they need cloud space and they want it for free. Very easy. Just become an immediate advocate and a loyal and advocate customer, and you can get free cloud space. There's many case studies about this. I would say that, you know, you work through your awareness, you work on your channels, you work on getting them converted on your action, and then you figure out a way to get customers that are already with you to not only keep coming back, but also to share their word. And I hope that you can find this success within your business, and reach out to us in case we can help you with that.
Absolutely. This is something we think about all the time. We really are kind of steeped in and are such experts in the field that we almost don't always know how to describe it. I would say, like, one of the things I found challenging about this exercise was I kind of inherently intuit and understand a lot of this stuff because I've been doing it my whole career. I've studied it. But when it comes time to, like, really explaining the difference between loyalty and advocacy, for example, I almost found myself struggling because they are subtle differences, but they are important, and you do have to build from one stage to the next. That being said, if you can nail each step along the way, your action stage, your conversion stage is going to be massive, and it's going to help you reach all the goals that you have. I don't think there's anything else we have to say about the marketing funnel now. If anybody listening has any questions, always reach out to us. Always visit the webpage, alphacomarketing.com. But before we sign off, I always ask this question, Juan Pablo: what piece of pop culture that's relevant to marketing are you engaging with?
Yes, sir. So I recently watched a Netflix movie that's nominated for the Oscars. It's fully in Spanish, but it's shot so amazing, their dialogue. And it's a known story about a rugby team that got crashed in a plane in the Andes and survived for months. The movie, being in Spanish and getting nominated, I like to see the foreign films in other languages. And it, because I don't know the actors, it's like these people could really be the person they're portraying to be, because it's not Brad Pitt. You know, when you see Brad Pitt, you know it's Brad Pitt, but these foreign films, they have such good acting and script and the way they film. So recommend this movie. Of course, it's a Spanish. You might have to watch it with subtitles. But that's
cool.
I've enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed it.
That's awesome. I've heard of that story and even heard of the movie because it's such a powerful story, but haven't checked it out. I'll have to do that.
Those guys definitely show some resilience up in the mountains.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to say more resilience than eating a hot chip. That's for sure. You know, I don't have anything that like comes top of mind, but what I've been thinking about a lot lately is that as the internet continues to mature as a product and as a kind of a primary means for people to communicate with each other, I feel like we're actually seeing a bit more of what I would call a settling into old trends. You know, if I think of like traditional marketing, I think of print, audio, and video. And I think of, all right, you've got your phone book and the white pages or billboards or all sorts of different types of print. And then you've got audio, which is almost always, traditionally, was almost always radio. And then you had video, which was almost exclusively TV or before a movie, right? I kind of think we're seeing a lot of the same thing, especially as more and more streamers go back to having ads on all of their streaming. And as TikTok grows, that you are seeing, you've got your kind of traditional marketing, which is like the white pages, which is like a Google search ad, or potentially, you know, now you might have like pictures, which are like magazines, and that's more Facebook. And then you have audio, which is podcasts, and podcasts are just taking over for radio. And now increasingly, I think we're seeing video ads being used across different channels on the internet, whether it's like YouTube TV, which is just a an internet-based like TV service with a lot of streaming ads. My point here is that I think we are seeing a little bit of a reentrenchment into the traditional channels for marketing with the added flavor of all of the data and all of the intent information that you can capture online is really new. And so we're going to be able to leverage traditional media and traditional advertisement types combined with the data you can gather online in a way that we really haven't seen before. And I'm really, really fascinated to see where that takes us as we get, you know, medium specific, hyper specialized marketing directed to us. Increasingly, that's going to be very, very interesting. Anything else before we hop off here, Juan Pablo?
Man, just that I recently been exploring this, how post mail, like for example, sending a list on a post, you can now have data on who actually engaged with the post. And so it's like that convergence of traditional and new data.
How are we doing that via like a QR code? How are they doing that?
One of our strategic partners, that's what she does, and maybe we can invite her to tell us more about this convergence, and it could be a topic in a future podcast.
That would be very cool. So a little teaser for future podcasts to all our listeners out there. That seems like a perfect time to sign off. So with that, please like and subscribe on Apple or Spotify. Visit us on social media or come to the website, alphacomarketing.com. Signing off, this has been Graham and Juan Pablo in Transmisión.
Thank you, guys.